Dear God, we thank you for every person who's here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we think and reflect on how you've made us, how you draw us together to be your people, that you would encourage us to use the gifts you've given us so that we might have great joy in serving you and serving your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'd like to start a little two-week focus on how God has made us and the gifts he's given us and how we are to respond to that. Do you know that God has made you to minister? What do I mean by that? Well, do you know that God has made you the person you are and given you the gifts and abilities to do good things for other people? In shorthand, he has made you to minister. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where Paul tells us we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if you just take that step by step, God has made you. You are his workmanship. The original word for workmanship there is the word we get poem from. So it's like God is an author and he's written you. He is an artist and he has made you. You are his creation, created by God himself. And when you are a Christian, you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And we call that ministry or service. And this has been God's intention and his idea prepared for us even before we were created, before time even. So every one of us has been made by God and given the gifts we need to do the good things that God wants us to do, and he has even prepared for us to do so that we can help others. And that's what I mean by when I say we're made to minister. That's how God has made us. He's created us like this to do good things. Now, what is ministry? It's a word that conjures up different things in different people's minds. First of all, I want to say our model for ministry is the Lord Jesus himself. In Mark 10, it tells us that whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So if you're here today and you're thinking, I really want to make a difference with my life, I don't want to waste my life, I want to do something significant, something that really makes a contribution, the way you need to think about that is you need to serve. Because the gold medals and the blue ribbons in God's people, in God's kingdom, are given to those who serve. That's what Jesus came to do. Even the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. So the best people, the ones with the greatest contribution to make, the ones who deserve the most praise, are the servants. That's what it's saying here. Ministry begins with a desire to serve people in the name of Christ. And everyone can do this, not just ordained clergy or full-time Christian workers. Some people think that in a church the ministry is done by the paid professionals called a pastor or a senior minister or staff or someone like that. But the verse we read before from Ephesians 2 says that we're all created, we're all God's workmanship to do good works, all of us, so we can all be involved in the ministry of God's church. Now, a pastor or a senior minister or a staff member has a particular role. So let's just think about that for a moment. In Ephesians, Paul tells us that it was the risen Lord Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. For what reason? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So my job as a senior minister and the staff members' jobs here are not to do all the ministry of the church. I can't do that. I'd be foolish to think that I could. My job, according to Paul here in Ephesians 4 and the rest of the staff, is to equip God's people here to do what he wants them to do. And that is how the church, the Christ's body, is kept healthy, is built up. So my understanding of this is that every Christian is a minister, and you don't need special titles to prove that. Just the fact that you are in Christ means that you are a minister in his name. You have been saved to serve, as they used to say, or made to minister. Now, I love life here at St. Alfred's because so many people are already doing this. There are so many people involved and using their gifts. Some of you were here earlier in February when out the front here I commissioned lots and lots of people at every service through the day for leadership roles in this church. It's a great church to be in because there are already lots of people involved in lots of ministry. But it's interesting, when we did the National Church Life Survey last year, and I've only just received the data back on this, a lot of people commented that they wanted to have more help on identifying their gifts and being helped to use those. So that's what these couple of weeks are about, and particularly the SHAPE seminars that I've identified on the front page of Contact. Let me just look for the rest of this morning a little bit at this particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I won't do this justice because I won't have time. But there are a number of important things just to bring out from this passage. First of all, Paul says the church is like a body. It's made up of different parts, and each part is needed to keep the body functioning in a healthy way. He has a very significant theological basis for that. He says that it's to do with being united in Christ. You see that in verses 12 and 13. And our baptism by the Holy Spirit. So every Christian belonging to Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit is part of the body and is therefore needed to help keep that body healthy. So that's where the idea of Christian ministry comes from people who belong together in the name of Christ and act in his name. So ministry is communal and corporate. It's not left to single individuals. And I know quite a number of churches where that seems to happen. Let me look very briefly at some of these points that Paul is making. In verses 12 to 20, Paul just emphasizes that we're all different. We're not all eyes, we're not all hands, we're not all ears, but we're all different, and this is very good. Verse 18. In fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God has made each of us with our own unique strengths and weaknesses, and we are all valuable in God's eyes. He's made us the way we want to be. Some people you meet go through life wishing they were somebody else, wishing they were taller or shorter or thinner or had a better smile or were less talkative or were more diplomatic. That mightn't be a bad thing to be, but you can't spend your life wishing you were somebody else. This is the person God has made you to be, and certainly with God's Spirit you might grow in your ability to round off those parts that aren't godly, but you are essentially the person God has made you to be, and he will use you. There is no one else like you in this church, and God wants you to use what he's given you to be a blessing to others. And once we work out what our gifts are, then we can start that process of using those gifts and being the person God wants us to be. Secondly, we all need each other. The body, in the passage it says the body has weaker and stronger parts, parts that can be shown in public and parts that because of modesty shouldn't be shown in public. But God has made the body a unity, verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So every part of the body is given due honour and due respect. The analogy here with ministry is that some roles are more public and therefore appear to be more prestigious. But in God's thinking, every ministry is important, even those that are hidden. And if the analogy is correct, those that are hidden and quiet ministries, if anything, deserve more honour. That may be because when you're serving in public, you get your own rewards for being in public, whereas quiet and discreet ministry can easily be overlooked. And in God's way, he's saying, no, let's give those quiet, discreet ministries the honour that is due them. From this flows the obvious point in verse 27 that all ministries are important. Paul says, you are the body of Christ. So he makes the analogy now quite clear. You people are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So just think about this as it teases its way out in practical things. Helping one child to be comfortable at church, in my opinion, is as important as leading the Sunday school. Quietly tidying up the church after a service is as important as leading the service. Inviting people into your home for a meal is as important as leading a small group. Visiting someone in hospital is as important as praying with someone after a service. Praying by yourself for a missionary overseas is as important as being the missionary overseas. Serving tea and coffee is as important as serving communion. Every ministry is important. No ministry is unimportant. Anything you do in the name of the Lord Jesus is worthwhile and valuable, whether it is seen or unseen. Is that clear? I think that's what Paul is saying here, that everybody is needed and we need all the gifts that God has given each one of you to be used in order to help the church be healthy and unified and functioning well. Now, I want to say publicly that I am grateful for all the quiet ministry that goes on around St. Alfred's. I am aware of lots of things that happen. I'm not always aware of who is doing it at any one time. I just know these things happen quietly and efficiently and graciously all the time. So I want to thank those of you who are involved in mowing the lawn, doing the flowers, tidying up, visiting sick people, taking casseroles to one another, collecting money and counting it, banking it, praying with one another, mentoring one another, offering hospitality, preparing communion, fixing things, sorting out technological problems. All sorts of quiet things go on around this church every single day and every single week. And I want to say thank you, and I honour you, and I thank you, because I could not do my job if all of that didn't happen. And it's important for the life of St. Alfred's that all of that quiet ministry goes on. It's all important. It's no more important than what I am doing right here, right now. Our whole approach to pastoral care, which you see outlined in Contact again, the peace pastoral care approach, is based on the fact that everyone can care for at least one person. And a lot of that will happen very quietly as people just live together and take up the burden of caring for one another. Much of it is done quietly and discreetly through prayer and personal support. So thank you for looking after one another. Thank you for caring for one another and supporting one another. It's so important that that goes on in the life of our church. I've probably left out a whole lot of quiet ministry, and I apologise, but my intention, as you see, is to say this is important, that every ministry is important. God gives different gifts to different people, and in verses 28 to 30, we get a list of some gifts and some gifted people that God has appointed in the church. The people mentioned include, as you look at the list there, apostles, prophets, teachers, and workers of miracles. The gifts mentioned include healing, helping, administration, speaking in tongues, and interpretation, verse 30. Earlier in verses 8 to 10, Paul had mentioned other gifts. Some overlap and are repeated. They include the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These are traditionally called spiritual gifts because they are given by God's Holy Spirit. They are gifts to the church to enable the church to be healthy, to build up the church. Now, I'm not going to go into these today because of time. However, in the SHAPE seminars, these will be considered. The S of SHAPE, the acronym SHAPE, the S of that acronym stands for spiritual gifts. And one of the things that we do in this is try and figure out with you what spiritual gifts you have. And when you discover and use your spiritual gifts, God's church is strengthened, the kingdom grows, and you are filled with joy because you sense that God is using you to do the things he has made you to do. It's a great thing to be doing what God has made you to do. And the thing that Paul is saying here is that God gives these various gifts to his people for the edification of the church. They're not for the person per se. They're for the building up of God's church. It seems in the Corinthian church they'd got things a little bit out of balance, and they were starting to take a certain amount of pride in their spiritual gifts. Now, this comes to my last point, which is I want to include the very last bit of this chapter, which in the New International Version looks like it goes with the next chapter. Paul says in verse 31, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way." Now, this is a tricky little bit, because what are the greater gifts? And does that refer to anything that's just been said or not? I tend to agree with the New Testament scholar Gordon Fee, who says that verse 31 is pointing forward to chapters 13 and 14. When Paul says, "eagerly desire the greater gifts," he means desire those gifts that edify the church. And that will be the argument of chapter 14. He picks it up again in chapter 14, verse 1. "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy." So the greater gifts, I think, are explained in chapter 14 as the gifts that are intelligible and edify the church. But before he gets to that, he has this important message to give to the Corinthian church about how they are to use their gifts, which is the most excellent way, and that is the way of love. This very famous chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, you often taken out of context in wedding services, because people don't always understand that what Paul is doing is he's putting this inside an argument about how people use their gifts. And if people think the gifts are just for them, they can tend towards a pride or an arrogance, particularly some of these more spectacular gifts. Oh, I'm a prophet, or I'm a miracle healer. That can subtly lead you to feel like you are amazing, you are wonderful. But what Paul tries to do in chapter 13 is say, use your gifts in love. Think about other people, not yourself. The gifts I have given you, that's God, the gifts God has given you are for the building up of the church, not building up your own pride. So that's what I think chapter 13 and 14 will be about, and what I think the end of chapter 12 is about. I want to conclude here by just saying, as you use your gifts, you will experience great joy and you will grow in your relationship with God. It is one of my duties, one of my privileges, to give you opportunities to grow in God. If I do all the ministry, you don't get that opportunity. So I want to offer some of these seminars over the next little while, and I'm going to preach again in a different way next week on this, to encourage us to realise that we are all gifted, we're all made to serve, what we do is valuable. Even if you're the quietest person here, what you do is valuable. Everything is important when it's done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Nothing is unimportant. And I just want to try and encourage people, if they've got maybe a bit stuck, they don't know what the next step is, this may be an opportunity to just come and reflect and think through, wonder what God has made me to do. How has he shaped me, and how could I then use what God has given me to serve him?